Our scripture passage is printed there in your bulletin. A pretty familiar passage this time of year that the lectionary brings us to. It's from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 45. We read there. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in Judea's hill country. There she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby inside her
leaped.
That's right. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she called out, God has blessed you more than other women, and blessed is the child you will have. But why is God so kind to me? Why has the mother of my Lord come to me? As soon as I heard the sound of your voice, the baby inside me jumped for joy. You are a woman God has blessed. You have believed that the Lord will keep his promises to you. So in this passage of scripture, we see that Mary hurries to visit Elizabeth, her cousin or her aunt. The word isn't super clear in scripture to know exactly what the relation is. And directly, she leaves directly after learning that she would be the mother of the Messiah, Jesus. And presuming that the conception happened around the time of that announcement, the Annunciation, Mary would not have been very far along in her pregnancy at all. So it wouldn't be by sight that Elizabeth would observe that Mary was with child. She arrives at Zechariah and Elizabeth's home, and Elizabeth, on the other hand, is quite far along in her pregnancy. She's 6 months along, according to scripture. And when Mary visited, the scriptures say that Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months. So presumably until the birth of John the Baptist. Well, these 3 months must have been very important in the life of Mary because they solidified for her the truth of the message that she received from the angel. And, you know, when you're having a child out of such spectacular circumstances, unprecedented, literally, in the history of the world, well, I'm guessing that she needed all of those 3 months to really cement for herself how she was going to carry this child, how she was going to approach her betrothed when she returned home. So I would like to focus my reflections on this passage with themes of excitement and gifts, because it's the week, right?
Yeah.
What happens next Saturday?
Christmas.
Christmas, that's right. What happens on Christmas? You can get presents, that's right. You can get presents on Christmas, that's right. And we know that Jesus is the best present of all, but you know what? It's also really neat to get stuff. And to be able to give stuff and see smiles on people's faces. So this is a time of year when there's a great deal of energy and excitement, especially among those who are younger, but also among those of us who like to give gifts, and around the gift giving and the anticipation of those gifts. So here we see in this passage Elizabeth's excitement, not only about the gift that the Lord has given her in the baby that's growing within her, John the Baptist, but also how her gift testifies to the greater gift of the Messiah, a gift for the whole world. And this gift comes, you know, wrapped, if you will, in the humblest of packages. A young girl from the backwoods of Judea. So here we have the greatest gift in all the world. It'd be like if you took a bazillion-dollar diamond ring and you wrapped it in a trash bag. and stuck a little bow on it and said, here you go. I mean, it wasn't, the package wasn't much to look at, easily overlooked. And that's the way that the Lord delivered to us the greatest gift of all. Mary is a beautiful example of humility, being a woman who, as Elizabeth testifies to, a woman who God has blessed. And why is she blessed? Well, as Elizabeth puts it, it's because, and we have the quote there, you have believed that the Lord would do and would keep his promises to you. And he would keep his promises. Sometimes we have a hard time holding on to God's promises. Amen?
Amen.
We know that God loves us, but our circumstances suggest to our fickle hearts that perhaps God is focusing on someone else at the moment, if he hasn't forgotten us altogether. This must have been the circumstance for many in Mary and Elizabeth's day, some 600 years since the last authoritative and prophetic word had come from God to his people. That's a long time to hold out for a promise, right? 600 years. To give you some idea, how old is our nation? Not yet 300 years old.
Yeah.
Are we in the same place we were at the founding of our nation?
Oh,
in terms of our devotion to God? So imagine doubling that time and where we'll be. So Israel has held on to these promises for 600 years. So if they're a little discouraged, who could blame them? That's a long time to hold out for a promise. It's a long time to keep the flame of hope and faith alive. So to illustrate the type of faith that is required to maintain our faith during these times of apparent silence from God, I'd like to read to you a children's story called Why the Chimes Rang. Is anybody familiar with the story, Why the Chimes Rang? It's kind of old, you can probably tell from the cover of this book, but it's really good. It's by Raymond McDonald Almond. So kids, if you want to come up for the story, I'm going to sit down, get a little comfortable so I can turn the pages easier. I might even let the adults see some of the pictures, but they're pretty small, so I don't know. This is called Why the Chimes Rang. There was once, in a faraway country where few people had ever traveled, a wonderful church. It stood high on a hill in the midst of a great city, and every Sunday, as well as on sacred days like Christmas, thousands of people climbed the hill to its great archways, looking like a little line of ants all moving in the same direction. When we came to the building itself, we found stone columns and dark passages and a grand entrance leading to the main room of the church. This room was so long that one standing at the doorway could scarcely see to the other end, where the choir stood by the marble altar. In the farthest corner was an organ, and this organ was so loud that sometimes when it played, the people for miles around would close their shutters and prepare for a great thunderstorm. Although no such church as this had ever been seen before, especially when it was lined up for the festival and crowded with people, young and old. But the strangest thing about the whole building was the wonderful chime of bells. At one corner of the church, there was a great gray tower with ivy growing over it as far up as one could see. I say as far up as one could see because the tower was quite great enough to fit the great church, and it rose so far in the sky that it was only in very fair weather that anyone claimed to be able to see the top. Even then, one could not be certain that it was here in sight. So here they are building the great tower. I think you can see that. They're carving the blocks of stone, and they're hauling them up to the top. And they say it was so tall that unless it was a totally clear day, you had no hope of seeing the top. It would be lost in the clouds. That's pretty tall. up and up and up, climbed the stones and the ivy. And as the men who had built the church had been dead for hundreds of years, no one, everyone had forgotten how high the tower was supposed to be, like in feet or meters or whatever. Nobody really knew. Now, all the people knew that at the top of the tower was a chime of special Christmas bells. They had hung there ever since the church had been built and were the most beautiful bells in the world. Some thought it was because a great musician had cast them and arranged them in their place, and others said it was because of the great height, which reached up where the air was clearest and purest, however that might be. No one who had ever heard the chimes denied that they were the sweetest in the world. Some described them as sounding like angels far up in the sky, others as sounding like strange winds singing through the trees. So here is a picture of an old person trying to tell the children there about the chimes. You'll find out why in just a moment. But the fact was that no one had heard them for years and years. There was an old man living not far from the church who said that his mother had spoken of hearing them when she was only a little girl. Well, and he was the only one that was sure of as much as that. They were Christmas chimes, you see, and were not meant to be played by men or on common days. It was the custom on Christmas Eve for all the people to bring to the church their offerings to the Christ child. And when the greatest and best offering was laid on the altar, there used to come, sounding through the music of the choir, the Christmas chimes far up in the tower. So how did they make the chimes ring? It was a gift. Yeah, it was the best gift. Was when the best gift was put there, that's when the chimes were. Well, some said that the wind rang them, and others said they were so high that the angels could set them straight. But for many long years, they had never been heard. It was said that people had been growing less careful of their gifts for the Christ child, and that no offering was brought even enough to deserve the music of the chimes. So here they are. Here's a picture of maybe what they imagined the angel ringing the bell. See that? People crowded into the church, angels ringing the bell. Every Christmas Eve, the rich people still crowded to the altar, each one trying to bring some better gift than the other, without giving anything that, well, he really wanted for himself. And the church was crowded with those that thought perhaps the wonderful bells might be heard again. But although the service was splendid and the offerings plenty, only the roar of the wind could be heard far up in that stone tower. Now, a number of miles from the city, in a little country village where nothing could be seen of the great church except glimpses of the tower when the weather was clear, lived a boy named Pedro and his little brother. They knew very little about the Christmas chimes, but they had heard of the service in the church on Christmas Eve, and they had a secret plan, which they had often talked over by themselves, to go and see this beautiful celebration. Nobody can guess the brother, Pedro would say. All the fine things that there are to see and hear, and I have even heard it said that the Christ child sometimes comes down to bless the service. What if we could see him? So here he is talking to his little brother and says, let's go to the church. Maybe Jesus himself will show up at Christmas. The day before Christmas was bitterly cold, with a few lonely snowflakes flying in the air and a hard white crust on the ground. Sure enough, Pedro and little brother were able to slip quietly away in the afternoon. And although the walking was hard in the frosty air, before nightfall they had trudged so far hand in hand that they saw the lights of the big city just ahead of them. Indeed, they were about to enter one of the great gates in that wall that surrounded it when they saw something dark on the snow in their path and stepped aside to look at it. What do you think it is? Jesus, that would be good, but it's not Jesus.
Mary? show you the picture. See? You see? It's a person. It's a person. Let's find out who it is. It was a poor woman who had fallen just outside the city, too sick and tired to get in where she might have found shelter. The soft snow made a drift of sort, kind of like a pillow for her, and she would soon be so sound asleep in the wintry air that no one would ever waken her again. All of this Pedro saw in a moment, and he knelt down beside her and tried to rouse her, wake her up, even tugging at her arm a little bit, as though he would have tried to maybe even carry her away, but he was just a little boy. He turned her face toward him so that he could rub some snow on her. Now that sounds weird to us, but you know, if you get frostbite, that's one of the things they tell you if you're out in the cold, is to rub some snow on. If you heat it up too fast, it can really hurt you if you treat it that way. Yeah, it is dangerous. So he's rubbing some snow on to try to warm her up. Yeah. And this woman was out there for a long time. We don't know how long. Yes, it does sting. It starts to get prickly, doesn't it? So he turned her face towards him so that he could rub some snow on it. And when he looked at her silently, a moment he stood up again and said, "It's no use, little brother. You will have to go on alone." "Alone?" cried little brother. "And you will not see the Christmas festival?" "No," said Pedro. And he could not keep back a bit of choking sound in his throat. "See this poor woman? Her face looks like the Madonna in the chapel window. And she will freeze to death if no one cares for her. Everyone has gone to church now, but when you come back, you can bring someone to help her. I will rub her to keep her from freezing and perhaps get her to eat a little bit of the bread that's left in my pocket." "But I cannot bear to leave you to go on alone," said little brother. "Well, both of us need not miss the service," said Pedro. "And it'd be better that be I than you. You can easily find your way to the church, and you must see and hear everything twice, little brother. Once for you, and once for me. I am sure the Christ child must know how. I should love to come with you and worship him. And oh, if you get the chance, little brother, slip to the altar without getting in anyone's way. Take this little piece of silver of mine and lay it down for my offering when no one is looking. Do not forget where you have left me, and forgive me for not going with you." In this way, he hurried little brother off to the city and winked hard to keep back the tears as he heard the crunching footsteps sounding farther and farther away in the twilight. It was pretty hard to lose the music and splendor of the Christmas celebration that he had been planning for so long, and spend the time instead in that lonely place in the snow. Well, the great church was a wonderful place that night. Everyone said it had never looked so bright and beautiful before. And when the organ played and the thousands of people that were in the church sang, the walls shook with sound. And little Pedro, away outside the city wall, felt the earth tremble around him. At the close of the service came the procession, with the offerings to be laid on the altar. Rich men and great men marched proudly up to lay their gifts before the Christ child. Well, some brought wonderful jewels, some baskets of gold so heavy they could scarcely carry them down the aisle. Now, a great writer, he laid down a book that he had been making for years and years, and last of all, walked the king of the country. Now, we don't have a king, do we? We have a president. But imagine we have a king. Last of all, walked the king of the country, hoping with all the rest to win for himself the chime of the Christmas bells. There was a great murmur through the church as the people saw the king take from his head the royal crown all set with precious stones, and lay it gleaming on the altar as his offering to the Holy Child. Surely, everyone said, we shall hear the bells. Now, for nothing like this has ever happened before. Can you imagine the king taking off his crown and giving it to baby Jesus? Do you think that's going to do it? You think it's going to do it?
Yeah.
No, you don't think so? Oh, okay, all right. But still, only the cold wind was heard in the tower, and the people shook their heads. They're disappointed. Would you be disappointed?
No.
I would be. Some of them said, as they had said before, that they never really believed the story of the chimes and doubted if they ever rang out. The procession was over, and the choir began the closing hymn. Suddenly, the organist stopped playing. Well, before I turn the page, here's the king. He's putting his crown on the altar. That would definitely get my attention if the king went forward and took off his crown. Yeah. So the choir, the organist stopped playing as though he'd been shot. And everyone stood and looked at the old minister who was standing up by the altar, holding up his hand for silence. Not a sound could be heard from anyone in the church. But as all the people strained their ears to listen, there came softly but distinctly, swinging through the air, the sound of the chimes in the tower. So far away, yet so clear the music seemed, so much sweeter were the notes than anything that had ever been heard before, rising and falling away up there in the sky, that the people in the church sat for a moment as still as though someone held each of them by their shoulders. Then they all stood up together and stared straight at the altar to see what great gift awakened the long silent bells. But all but the nearest of them, but all that the nearest of them saw was the childless figure of little brother, who had crept softly down the aisle when no one was looking, and had laid Pedro's little piece of silver on the altar. That's the end of the story. So, just a few more words, then we'll pray, okay? Humility, that means not making too much of yourself. Like those rich people, what were they doing when they were going forward? They were kind of hoping everybody saw what they did. How about the king? Think the king expected to be watched while he walked up there with his crown? Grace, like the grace that Pedro had for the woman, gave up something that was really important to her that he had been planning for a long time to stay with her, and gave his little coin to his little brother. Go on about it. Trust and faith. These are all qualities that allow us to hold out hope in God, that we're going to hear his voice clearly when we're having a hard time holding on to his promises. The devotion of young Pedro in the story and the prophetic words of Elizabeth to young Mary. These are gifts. Gifts for our soul and encouragement for the journey God has set before us. We are drawing near to Christmas. That's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm excited. It's the celebration of Jesus' birth. There's a lot to be excited for. May we be found jumping for joy and exclaiming in a loud voice, just like Elizabeth. Jesus is born. Jesus is born. Now, she didn't say that, but we could say that on Christmas. This is the greatest gift of all. Will you pray with me? God, there is a lot to be excited about. Both in just in day-to-day living, the excitement of this season, special happenings, family gatherings, getting together with friends, special shows on TV, going out to the movies or some other Christmas tradition we have as a family. In the midst of all that, help us not lose sight of the greatest gift of all, the gift that sent Elizabeth exclaiming, "Who am I that I should be able to greet the mother of my Lord?" And you were just super, super tiny at that point, Jesus. Barely even big enough. I'm not even sure you would have shown up on scans and things nowadays. It's amazing to think that even in that moment, Elizabeth knew through your spirit that something was happening that was going to change the world. And thank you, Jesus, for changing our world too. Thank you for changing our hearts. Thank you for changing families and churches and communities, and help us to be a part of that as we show excitement, as we are excited for Christmas. In your name, Jesus, the greatest gift of all, we pray. Amen.
Amen.